Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
VR Mistrena. I learnt that when I was over in Copenhagen. That means we Danish for We Are the Champions. I'm hoping to be singing that in the karaoke over in Copenhagen. That damn Paul Hartley couldn't do us a favour. What a shock. It does mean, however, that the first chance to win the league is in our own hands this Saturday against Montrose. And there's a bit to discuss about that on this week's Falkirk Daft. I am your host, John McInally, and as you can hear, the weekend has taken its toll on me. And as ever, I'm joined by the ginger god of pod, the one-man band in the main stand, a lover of the prawn sandwich, it's Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. We good? Apart from your sore throat?
I've caught something along the way. So someone advised that if you have a bit of cayenne pepper, honey, lemon, hot water, it stops, because I've had a really bad cough. I don't know how I've caught it. Probably on the plane. It's probably COVID, Ross. But... always good, apart from, I sound quite husky and quite sexy.
Very sexy, actually. Yeah.
Obviously, I was on a stag do in Denmark at the weekend, so missed the Edinburgh game, absolutely gutted, but obviously had my phone out constantly, just keeping, looking for the update. Couldn't find anywhere with Sky Sports or anything on.
Jesus.
So I was just sitting and just watching the updates come in, and now that beautiful 25 minutes when we were in the league, and I'm getting all excited. And then it didn't happen, but it was a brilliant result for the Bairns, and we'll get into that in a bit.
It was a brilliant afternoon. The only thing that could have made it even better would have been Aki's dropping points. But listen, as you've said, it's within our own hands now, and a huge, huge crowd are going to head up to Montrose on Saturday, and we'll be amongst it.
Yep, just under 2,000 as we record this podcast. 2,500 tickets are available with an extra additional 900. So snap them up, Bairns. Make this, it could be a brilliant party. You know what I mean? It's like me and Ross are going up. We're on the 10 to 12 train from Larbert.
Something like that, yeah.
We're going to go up. We're going to have a great day out. And hopefully, as Ross and you've seen our social medias, this could be this generation's coin bank. So get your tickets. It'll be a laugh anyway. And like you say, it's in our own hands. The annoying thing about it, however, the really annoying thing about it is, see, if we get a point, we've pretty much won the league, right? But we haven't. Do you know what I mean? So it goes to that, because you're on that horrible, horrible goal difference thing. You're thinking, we've won it, sort of, but we've not. So it's just going to be this really indecisive, should we pitch invade or no?
I don't know,
but I reckon we'll get up to Montrose, and we'll talk about that in the company of our friend from Montrose, Mark Gray, a bit later on the show. Before that, though, we've got to talk about Edinburgh, and I've got a few other things to deal with. First of all, though, thanks to our sponsors, the Lava Cup. Thanks to Ian and the team over there. It's been held at the Falkirk Stadium on Saturday, the 25th of May. The opening ceremony taking place at 11:30, and the tournament kicking around about 12. It's all getting done for charity, donating to Strathcan Hospice and the FDAMH. If you want to get involved with Falkirk's football fans and training, that's the guys that are organising this. You can talk to Doogie, Mark or Ian, they will get you sorted. We've talked about how good this group of lads are, how much they've really bought in. You can hear them a few episodes ago, they were on, and we're going to have them on again before the end of the season to give you more information on Falkirk fans and training. But as they've said to us on numerous occasions, it's really helped those guys with their mental health. They've become a great group of lads. And like I say, they're never out of that hospitality. So if you want any details on Falkirk football fans in training or the Lava Cup, check out the links below. That's in the bio. and get yourself along at the Falkirk Stadium on the 25th of May. Couple of messages that have been coming in over the last week. We had our friend in Texas, Ross, Mr. Jamie Douglas, has been in touch. Hello, Jamie. We love Jamie's correspondence. He's out there. You can just tell how gutted he is to be missing out on this.
I know. Yeah, you can tell when he messages, can't you?
I know. So Jamie's been in touch. He's talked about the player of the season, and I want to read out his message because I thought it was a really interesting point. He says, been thinking long and hard about the Falkirk Daft player of the season. I get that Callum has been amazing and his goals have won us games out of nothing in some cases. Big Hendo, Mr. Falkirk in that midfield, or even when he drops back, has never looked out of place and what he does, but the whole team has been absolutely immense this season, chipping in with grit and determination, driving us for late wins, etc. Nizzy's running skills are up there, unrecognised as well, with Leon the quiet man pogging away, doing his thing. But for me, overall, it has to be Big Captain Call at the back. Being that voice in everyone's ear through the game, shutting up solid the back with John's Big Tam, even driving forward with some sexual footwork and some bang tidy goals as well, when the centre-backs are usually the big heaters at set pieces. I think getting the captaincy has been his making, driving us to be great again. So Big Call for me is my player of the season. You can't. The problem is you can't argue against that. You cannot argue, and I cannot wait to get into this debate once we get near the end of the season, who the Falkirk Daft Player of the Year is going to be, Ross, because you look at that park and every single Falkirk supporter you go to is going to have a different answer for you.
No, you are. It's a really, really tough, excuse the pun, it's a tough call. And I genuinely think it's anybody's, like I know the shouts for Morrison and he's probably leading the way for me just now as well, but it's a very, very tight call. It really is.
I know, we get talking about his four goals at the weekend. He's the top scorer now in the SPFL. Mm-hmm. Four goals in Lorne Shankland. It's such a tough call. I think, though, I'm worried, we asked a couple of weeks ago, Callum Morrison or Calvin Miller, who's better? We're going to have to say, after the last couple of weeks, it's going to have to be Morrison. Sorry, Calvin.
It has to be Calvin.
Sorry, Calvin. But it's, I mean, I don't think many supporters, I don't think you can look beyond Morrison now. I really don't think. The fact he's playing out in the wing, I love Big Sexy, Tam. Again, Jamie's argument for Call. Hendo has been brilliant. These are all big players for us.
You can go through the team and actually almost justify pretty much your
Brad, I mean, we've not even put Brad Spencer in the mix.
No, I know.
Unbelievable. Brad phenomenal. Spencer has been the big difference. It's just,
Everyone's deserving. Yeah,
I cannot wait for that debate. And we're going to have that on Falkirk Daft as the season comes to an end. Do you know who else has been in touch, Ross?
Shock me.
Denon Lewis has been back in touch.
No way.
Can't believe it. Hello, guys. You probably noticed I wasn't selected for Woking yesterday, and they must assume that was an international duty. Not so. I've now had it with Dopey. As Morrissey once sang, he holds more grudges than High Court judges. Right, I'm going to start working out who this is. See if they're starting making Morrissey reference. I'm going to work out who Denon is. Of course, it's the real Denon, you never know. He just can't even get over my altercation with a steward and ejection from the ground during last week's home versus Barnet after I was unwell in the Jusson's family stand. Don't we say he had no option but to leave me out of the match day squad for the trip to Southend. This is the sort of poor man management that I just don't want to be a part of. How was I supposed to know that the wifey in the nice camel hair coat and pearl necklace combo was the chairman Rupert's wife? And how was it my fault that she was sat in the landing zone of my projectile vomit? Petty, petty, petty little Woking FC and me are finished. It's over for them and the next episode in Denon's journey to stardom beckons. Great result for Annan yesterday, and that is where I hope to be heading. Even though I hate Amo and Aki's more than I hate Falkirk, I have to say well done to them for pushing Falkirk all the way to the end of March, while Serif Zengin is now into the 8th week of his drunken stupor since Falkirk stupidly turned down his more than generous bid for Miller, Morrison, Aguiman. A Rose and Rankin inspired Aki's have stayed on Falkirk's coattails. When Serif finally does sober up, he will surely reward John Rankin with another 3 years onto his contract for his amazing steering of the rudderless ship. I know that the only two Aki's, popped in some intros for a wee bowl of soup on their way up to Cove yesterday, and the rest of their trip after that really was a trip to remember. It is Montrose next for you guys, and my Montrose friend wants all the Falkirk fans to know that no one is invited round for soup before the game. Although he often thinks he is Jesus after his match day soup, he says that he can't actually feed the 5,000. The Angus Post also wants Falkirk fans to know what they that they have banned all mushroom recipes from the Montrose area next week, and this will be strictly enforced. The thought of trying to control a full house of celebrating bears out of their heads on soup, salad and stroganoff is too much to countenance. Up ye hell rat. Love, Denon.
Jesus Christ.
Love it. Absolutely love it. But thank you so much, Denon, for getting in touch. We love your correspondence. If you want to rate and review us as well, Denon's actually left a review on our Apple Podcasts as well. So please rate and review the podcast as any ex-Falkirk player, because that will give us hours of amusement as well. Right, bit of club news and let's get into it. We've got a couple of competitions to mention as well. Falkirk Daft meets Tam McManus. It was out last week. We hope you enjoyed it. We've got a lot of great feedback on it, Ross.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, loads of messages directly through social media, tagging Tam in as well. So hopefully that means he'll come back and chat with us at some point. Or he's hoping to go for a beer with us. And Big Prof as well, which would be outstanding.
That'd be great. I love the Anthony Stokes and the fact that he saved Carol Dodd and Big Scott Higgins from getting brazenly murdered.
And obviously Stokes is now in the jail, so he's never
exactly. Stokes is in the jail now. But I tell you what, we've got something really exciting coming up for you in the next month. We spoke today to a modern day legend of Falkirk, Mr. Will Vokes. And we had a brilliant, brilliant conversation with Will. He's got some big news coming soon, which I'm sure you'll hear about. But we spoke to him about his Falkirk career, his time up here, some brilliant chat. You know, talking about obviously the fact he came up here and played for free, the goals he scored, you know, working under Hoostie, moving from effectively a centre-back into the midfield. You know, he was brought in originally as a full-back, believe it or not. The players he played with, and just generally his time at Falkirk. It was a brilliant conversation. We thanks Will for coming on and doing that. And you'll be able to hear that in the next month or so. We'll get that in the diary. And that's our next Falkirk Daft Meets, Ross.
Yeah, that was a fantastic hour spent chatting to him. We probably could have spent longer. He had loads of stories as well. And it's interesting, actually. His journey, what a guy. Like, listen, we all knew he was a special, special guy anyway.
Yeah.
But I think it just kind of firms that up. And as everyone will hear, we've done our best to try and persuade him to come back.
We did definitely try and put in
verbal contract.
We tried, I know. We think by the end of the podcast, we brokered a deal for his return. Just said, you know, just come up and play for a wee bit, Will. You know, just for a laugh. At the end of the career, just come back up for a laugh. It'll be good. It'll be good. So hopefully we can get Will back at some point. But that podcast will be going out in the near future. Other club news. Just sold my car to Gary Oliver. Has signed a contract extension. Gary is going to be with us. The one and only Gary goes. He's going to be here till 2026. Ross, what do you make of that?
Yep. Happy, especially on his Ford this year. He's played a vital role in this push for the title, and he deserves it. I think. I don't know if he'll be a starter next year, but then he's not been a starter this year, so
I think he's been signed for the squad, and I think it's probably important to have an experienced player like Gary around the dressing room as well, and that's probably what John McGuinn's looked at. He won't be looking to upset the apple cart, and that's the thing, that you'll be looking to retain that team and that team spirit if we do go on into the championship.
We've seen how important using a squad is this year. Like, it's not been just 11 boys.
I mean, and look, as you alluded to, the goals that Gary scored coming off the bench, you know, and now he's got a good song as well, so we can't let him go.
That's it.
And you'll see today that Ross is sporting the new retro kit, which has been released by O'Neill's, the 91-94 away top. What player immediately springs to mind when you're wearing the top just now, Ross, if you're watching the video version?
You know, I'm going to shock you because it's probably not the first name that you would think of. I always think of Scott Sloan.
Scott Sloan, there you go.
Do you know why? Because like loads of great players have worn this shirt. However, one match always sticks out in my head, which is, well, apart from Stenrod's halfway line, because we wore that day as well. But I always remember Scott Sloan scoring like a scissor kick up at Dundee. And it was like a Monday night Scottish Cup tie that was live on the BBC. And yeah, I just have memories of him scoring his goal and then like almost running towards me and my dad. He wasn't, but he was running in that direction.
Yeah, yeah, but that's an amazing memory.
Arms out, he was just, yeah, it was brilliant. What about you?
I'm waiting for payday. It's Richie Cadet for me. I mean, Richie Cadet's the one who springs to mind because you just see there's an iconic picture of Richie wearing it. But I'm waiting for payday and that will be getting added to the collection. It's absolutely better. Were a lot of people wearing it at the stadium on Saturday?
There was an awful lot of people wearing it at the stadium. So I think, like every other shirt that we've sold this season, It's proven really, really popular. Even before this came out, we'd sold, 5,000 shirts this year. So I'd imagine this is probably going to add another 1,000 onto that number anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, you can get it at the club shop or it's available through the Grief Sport.
The track top looks sexy as hell as well.
The track top, the suit top. I've never worn a track suit top in my life, right?
I'm not really a tracky top kind of guy.
I'm not a tracky top kind of guy, but it does look good, man.
It does look good.
I quite like the retroness of it. But yeah, they're both available on the Grief Sport website or through the club shop. Ola's back! What a shock this is. Basically, Ola's back from Cove. I'm pretty much sure because of that video where he celebrates Falkirk beating Cove. See you later, pal.
Yeah, it's worth it, I think. Like, I know he can't play again. But
can he not play again? Can he definitely not play again?
I don't think so. No, I think you're only allowed to play for the team that you've signed for, but I could be wrong.
Well, no, he's our player, so he shouldn't be.
But I think he would have had to have been recalled within that window. I could be wrong, but from what I've seen online, and he wasn't in the squad on Saturday, and we had a smaller bench on Saturday. So I think if he was fit, maybe he's injured. Listen, he could be injured, so that's maybe the reason.
I need to clarify the ruling on that because I want the bants of Brian Ola on against Cove Rangers.
Oh, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
I know, but if it's going to cost us points, then potentially with the league, forget it. But for banter, if Ola played against Cove Rangers, it would be phenomenal banter.
And then he scores and then runs over to the Cove dugout and then does the same dance that he's just done in the tunnel.
That's the thing that dreams are made of right there. Yeah. That is the thing that's been. So Ola's back. He's one that's out of contract, I think, at the end of the season, isn't he?
Yeah, and I don't see him being offered anything, if I'm being honest.
No, I know. John McGuinn did say that there was a couple of players, there's contracts out on the table. You suspect Sean Mackey would be one of those?
Could be, yeah, there's a few players. Nicky Hogarth
might have been one of them. Nicky Hogarth might be the other one.
Ben Yates.
That's the
thing. About there. Yep.
That's the three that you'll be looking at. So I think Sean Mackey, I think for his versatility, we saw him at left back against Queens, we saw him at centre half and apparently played very, very well on Saturday.
Sean Mackey was great on Saturday. He did pick up a booking that was a bit silly and I thought, oh, here we go, because you know what Sean's like, he loves a tackle and he loves a kind of getting stuck in, but it didn't affect his game and he did really well.
Sean, I think, could be one that's a deal on the table for. I would certainly like to see Sean Mackey getting signed up because I do think he'll be fine in the Championship and he can play centre half, he can play left back, and that's kind of versatility. It just goes to show you with Hendo being injured on Saturday, we needed him. Do you know what I mean? We needed him because obviously with Big Tam being out as well. We were short, so that versatility to move him, and that's what I like about the fullbacks in that area. So Finn can move into midfield if needs be. He can play right back, and it's good to have. It's good to have that versatility in a player that they're quite comfortable.
I did see a really cracking comment on social media on Saturday, and it was obviously with Hendo being injured. And someone says, "Oh, maybe we should recall Brad Mackay." And then the next person replied to them said, "Why don't we just play Aguiman at centre back?"
Play the big man wherever he wants to play. Bring in captain chaos. Put him in at centre half just for bands. Brilliant. Again, not enough game time for Captain Chaos, and we need to unleash the beast at some point. John McGlynn, let's get Big Alfie playing. Oa back, and we'll look into that rule for next week. Or sure, someone on here will say, "You're talking shite, John. There's no chance you can play." But it would be the dream, like Ross says, to score the winner against Cove and dance in front of Paul Hartley. Be amazing. Yeah. Episode 13 of the Falkirk Football Club podcast, not this podcast, the Falkirk Football Club podcast that they do, the official one, is out now, as Colin is joined by FSS members Charlene Honey and Ryan Didcock, who give you an update on what's going on with the Falkirk Supporter Society and the progress that they've made. So that, I've not listened to it yet, so I'll be looking forward to.
I gave it a listen. Yep, as always, give it a listen. Same with Walking Down Hope Street. You need to support the other podcast, don't we, as well as our one. It was really, really good update. I didn't make it along to the FSS AGM on Friday night. I believe it was pretty well attended, though, and all good positive stuff.
There's no change, though, I believe, because there was no one opposing.
That's right. I don't think there's any changes there. Yeah. Really good podcast, though. Colin does a great job with that. And as we've just mentioned about Walking Down Hope Street as well, who I know they've got some new episodes coming up as well. It's all good Falkirk content in it.
Absolutely. Inject the Falkirk content into us.
We're the only one that regularly says, like, shit and fuck, obviously. But
that is true. You won't get any shits and fucks on Walking Down Hope Street.
No, you won't at all. No.
Or on the official club website, you won't get. He was shite at the weekend, wasn't he? No, you're not going to get that.
Not going to happen.
You'll definitely get it here, though. You'll definitely get it here. Get it. And I wasn't. And actually, on that as well, the talk about speaking to guys from the Falkirk Support Society, we're going to be catching up with Derek from the Falkirk Foundation. There's been a wee bit of some stuff going on recently. You would have seen a statement from the Falkirk Supporters Society about the women's team and things like that. And we're going to speak to Derek from the foundation before the end of the season as well. Just find out, because I don't think a lot of people are aware that the foundation is separate to the club and it is from the society, it's Supporters Society as well. So we're just going to get Derek on and chat to him about what the work the foundation does in the community and what the future holds for it as well. So we're going to speak to Derek before the end of the season. So looking forward to that. And talking of speaking to people, let's speak now to a man who, he was gutted. He part of the commercial team at Falkirk Football Club. We didn't get the chance to get him on, but let's get him on now. Graham Carbis, everyone.
How are we? You good?
Good. Very well, sir. Very
right,
well.
So what are you selling us today, Graham?
What's your budget?
See, that's the right question, isn't it? That's the right question. That's why he's in my
head. I heard Falkirk Daft are sponsoring the Kevin McAllister stand next year.
That's right, aye, absolutely, absolutely. I've got to say thank you very much to Graham as well, who kindly put our logo on, because you got the LED screens were obviously in for the TNS Airdrie game at the weekend there, Graham, and you very kindly put the Falkirk Daft logo, so that looked great, and I was just like, somebody show my mom going, "Look, our wee podcast is on the old LEDs. Look at that."
She was. We've done it for quite a lot of the partners. Flung in Falkirk Daft, put FSS in it on as well. So it, obviously for highlights and stuff, it'll be fantastic. Obviously there's no TV camera coverage there. So just to give you a little bit more of show your mum, to be honest.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. So we missed you when obviously Paddy and the other Graham were on recently, Graham. In terms of, like, I mean, the commercial success of the club this season, I mean, you guys, we've talked about it so many times. I mean, you'll sell everything, Graham, absolutely everything to anyone. And, you know, you have done so, so well in terms of bringing in revenue for the club this season. How easy has that been with the success that's come on the park? Presumably it makes your job a lot easier.
Yeah, to be honest, it makes us look good at our jobs this season, to be honest. But on terms of last season, the partners were coming in thick and fast. We were building relationships. And it just shows to the point that where we got to for this season, when there is Good things happening on the pitch, where the boys are doing well. It's kind of leveraged up to the next stage. I dare say at this stage for next season, it's looking like Championship. So that relationship will go to the next level. And we're certainly building. There's a lot of good things and a lot of things that can't be announced yet, but to come for next season, which is fantastic, and it just shows what's happening on the pitch is certainly affecting in a fantastic way for next season, which is we're all buzzing, we're all looking forward to it, and we're all I get excited by selling anything from £1 to 20,000. So in terms of next season, that's I'm quite sad actually. It's quite exciting for myself personally to go and to see what we can bring into the club, new partners, local and nationwide as well. So yeah, very excited. So all good.
Are we going to go to the point where we're going to make a video like Motherwell as well, Graham, with you trying to convince Taylor Swift to sign some commercial deals at Falkirk?
No, I was on the phone to Britney Spears this morning. Didn't want to get any money off her, just leave her to it, and we can do our own job, so we're all good.
She's still got your number, has she?
She did. She never messaged for a while, but it's all good now.
Good to hear. In terms of, is there anyone, just using this as a platform, I guess, Graham, in case anyone listens to the podcast, is there any businesses out there that, you know, when I think of, like, obviously, Falkirk Distillery have moved into, you know, they started distilling whiskey. Rosebank, God, it's looking amazing up at Rosebank now. You know, I think I talked about Ineos, Malcolm Logistics, all these. Is there any kind of businesses you like to target, you want to get an in for? Because maybe one of our listeners potentially has that in for you.
Yeah, there's several businesses that we want to tap into. We've got our fingers on a lot of pies as well, so there's a lot of plates spinning. Locally, with the whiskey companies, Graham Stewart is building relationships. The Rosebank have used the stadium for different things as well, so that relationship is there. There's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes, which is like Ineos. We've spoke to Ineos, we've had feedback from them, we're trying to get another contact to Alexander's, so those sort of companies. But there's a lot of companies that are in football just now that are coming out, and there's new ones coming in, so we're kind of got our eye on social media all the time to see what's happening and checking out what different clubs are doing to see if there's anything we can jump onto and vice versa as well. So it's we're pretty much covered, and we're trying our best to cover a lot more, so it's all good.
Alexander's feels like a company that over the years you're surprised you never really see their name attached to the club, because they've obviously been a huge part of the employment of the town for so long as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's somebody we'd love to speak to. We have got a couple of different contacts, and somebody on Saturday has opened up another contact for us at Alexander's, so fingers crossed that'll be tomorrow morning job to jump onto that one and try and at least get them over to the stadium or try and get a coffee with them or something. But let's say we're definitely looking to get a lot more local companies involved in the club.
I guess you strike while the iron's hot, Graham, at this point, with the success on the park, with the potential of going invincible this season. And the likes of Malcolm Allen, Malcolm Allen would just be a chairman at the club and things like that. And I've not seen any Malcolm Allen stuff up, which surprises me as well. I mean, as we know, in this day and age, budgets are stretched for everything. But I mean, it's great that there are those local businesses out there that you can go and find and target and potentially bring them back into the club.
Yeah, people like Malcolm Allen, also Gordon Robinson, behind the scenes is doing like golf days and stuff like that as well. So they are still putting money into the club, which is fantastic. Guys like that they're not doing their brand awareness, or they've maybe had that, or they're maybe thinking about it in the future, but it's one of those ones where they are in the background doing stuff as well. So,
I mean,
Malcolm Allen are big supporters to the Bairns Business Club as well, Graham, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Gordon's at pretty much every single one. So,
yeah, if you want Malcolm Allen, if you want any adverts, we can do them for you as well. No problem at all. We can do a deal. Malcolm Allen for the finest roll and slice this side of Falkirk. There we go.
You're needing to get a new job away from the radio.
I'm a little hoarse today as well, Graham. But yeah, I mean, obviously, are you guys happy with what you have done this season? Looking forward to next season and potentially being in that championship? Because obviously, with being in the championship, prices will go up, no doubt. We're waiting to hear what is there, our Falkirk Daft. We're still waiting to sign off our Falkirk Daft stuff for next season, so we're just waiting to see what Graham will sell us. But yeah, I guess he's looking, like you said, Graham, you're looking forward to that next step up.
Yeah, in terms of last season, this season, sorry, we're currently over and above, just short of our target, sorry, and over and above where we were last season. Which is fantastic to see. We're not far off our target, which is.
I mean, how long have you got to finish your target, Graham?
There's five figures going on to Falkirk Daft's sponsorship for next season. So,
right. Help Graham get to the club target. If you're a business out there right now, Graham will sell you something. Trust me, no matter what budget you've got out there, if you're a greengrocer, if you're a big company, Graham will have something in the back pocket for you to sponsor and to get the club hitting their target and hitting those commercial targets to finish.
If I don't hit this target, my kids will be eating the grass in the back garden. So come on, guys, get the finger out.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. I sell that. Is. Brilliant.
Graham, is there anything left? Like, so obviously you're mentioning you're just shy of the target for this year, but is there what's left for the fans or local businesses that they can do this season? And I suppose the second part of the question is, what are you already taking sort of any sort of pre-advanced sort of bookings for next year as well?
In terms of pre-bookings for next year, we just need to confirm 100% what league we're going to be in. So in hospitality, the match sponsors, the captain sponsors, what you guys are doing at the club, which is fantastic, by the way. Thanks for all your support. A lot of that will be coming available. Stuff like the sponsoring the Kevin McAllister stand, which is quite a big one for us. We've not been able to achieve that yet, which is maybe one for a local company like Alexander Dennis or something. But
the Rose Bank Kevin McAllister stand, and then you can have a Falkirk sponsored whiskey as well, Graham.
I know. We did speak to Cadbury about obviously that thing with the crunchy and stuff like that as well. But they've not took the bait for it so far. So. We need to get a Falkirk fan. In fact, why don't you guys apply for a job at Cadbury, get the job, do a sponsorship, and then come back to Falkirk Daft?
That sounds like a fantastic plan. I don't know anybody at Cadbury's as well.
But in terms of the fans putting money at the club through sponsorship, the player sponsorship, there's a few left for the younger guys, like your Reece Walker and stuff like that.
Are you doing deals, Graham? Are you doing deals? Because the young team will love a deal if you're doing a deal on any of the... Any end of season deals? No.
Of course, I'm always open to deals, so that makes you sound like a drug dealer, but let's not go there.
If you want, if there's some remaining tops, so we've got some remaining tops, some remaining boot sponsors.
There's very few and far between, but it's probably like your Scott Honeyman and stuff like that.
Heritage top sponsors as well. Have you still got a few of those left?
There's three or four Heritage top sponsors. We're just confirming what date we're actually going to do the Heritage. Watch the players train and get lunch and stuff like that as well. So that's going to be a conversation this week. So we'll get that confirmed.
Is that the day I'm going to get to meet Tom Lang? Because we are obviously the sponsors of the Tom Lang Heritage Top. And I'm just
is that restraining order been lifted yet?
Well, that's what I'm just wanting to double check what date it'll be, because it's lifts up in the next wee while. So
we'll see.
If you want to do a deal, if you've got, there is stuff to be done there. If you're thinking, I love a framed signed Falkirk top from a season which could potentially be historic making if we go invincible, Graham's your man to speak to. He will do you a deal. Get him to his target so his kids don't have to eat grass. That's the big sell. Get Graham to his target so his kids don't have to eat grass. But yeah, listen, Graham, thank you so much for coming on. We missed you when you were on. Paddy and Graham were on the last time, so it's great to have you on. And fingers crossed, we're selling for the championship next season.
Yeah, 100%. And thanks very much for all your support, man. We've got a good relationship with Falkirk Daft and the club, which has been brilliant. I think that that sponsorship's really helped. We called on obviously Steve McGinn giving the captain's armband over to fans, which has been, you guys can take inspiration to the championship. So all good.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've tried to explain to you, I've tried to explain to Ross, I've tried to explain to everyone. It's like Brett the Hitman Hart used to do, and no one understands this. It was simple. Ross came up with the idea, but no one's taken.
Ross, you promised me that there was not going to be any wrestling chat.
I know. I'm really sorry. I know.
But long may it continue to next season as well, because like you see, I think that as a podcast, as a supporter, it's the proudest thing for me this podcast has done with the Falkirk Daft Armband and those kids at the end of the game. You see the faces.
The faces are fantastic. They really are.
Actually, it was Stevie Jackson who works in the
well, his granddaughter. His granddaughter got it.
We found out it was his granddaughter that got it at the weekend. And if you check out our social media, you see the look in that little girl's face. Yeah. And the looks in the faces throughout the season have been absolutely unbelievable.
I noticed the club gave the birthday boy, the boy with the sign, I noticed that Stephen McGinn caught up with him, so that was
oh,
brilliant.
Did you get that? Brilliant. That's a job done for us then. Fantastic. Glad that happened with that, because we were going to send him up. We had his address ready to send it out, but I'm glad Stephen got that sorted. So that's great news. Brilliant news. Graham, thanks so much for your time and thanks for doing what you do at the club.
Thank you very much. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
So there you go, Graham Carbis from the commercial team at Falkirk, just giving you a wee update of where the commercial team are. And there are a package if you want to be involved and have your name in the programme and all that sort of stuff. I mean, we've sponsored a couple of things this season because we like to put money back into the club. Get in touch with Graham and the team over there. They'll have something for your budget. If you are a small business, they've got a different ranges of packages. So get in touch with Graham and the club. We should have a beer sponsor, and that leads us into Falkirk Beer. Names for Falkirk Beer. We've got 3 tickets to give away to the Larbert Ale Festival, which is always one of the best nights of the year at the Dobby Hall this Friday and Saturday. Ross, have you attended the beer festival at Larbert?
I've not, but I've seen loads of stuff about it over the years.
Every year I'm there.
It does look good.
I don't think I'm going to be shit. Like, see, if I'm going to Montrose on Saturday, I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing this year. I don't know. But we asked you on our Twitter, we had 3 pairs of tickets to give away. And thanks to Camera, who are the campaign for Real Ale. They have given us 3 pairs of tickets to give away, and I think you might get a couple of free drinks with us. So we asked on our Twitter streams to name a beer after a Falkirk player. So if a Falkirk player was a beer, past or present, we weren't too fast. Let's go through a few of them, Ross, and you can decide on the 3 winners.
Okay.
Mark, who actually we're going to speak to from the Montrose podcast, he reached out anyway, and I actually thought this was very good. Russell Latta IPA was very good.
That's very clever. That's very
clever, but he's not getting it. Right, Hendo, I think he's been a previous pundit on the show. Tiger McLaughlin Asian Lager. Ola Dub Special Reserve Lawal. Right, here we go. What have we got? Grant Thompson, another previous pundit. Peroni Parks. Quite good.
I like that one. That was good.
John Harding goes for Stephen Elvis Juice Presley. Grant got a bit obsessed with this because he kept sending them in as he came in. This is a great one as well. Heineken Edie. we've got Brian Newcastle Brown, of course. Another one from Grant, Skull Donaldson. Right, Grant's definitely getting the...
Skull Donaldson's
Grant's
a good
got
one.
The tickets.
We'll give Grant a ticket or a pair of tickets?
A pair of tickets for
a
Grant.
A pair of tickets, right, brilliant.
Right. Pedro Matinho Garden. Matinho Garden. I like that. Mark
That's
Allen, you're getting a pair of tickets. That's good.
That's a good one.
Kenny Jukers is decent. That's since 1876. Stephen McGuinness, how obvious is that one?
Of course, yes, of course, that's a good one too.
Chris Innes Gunn, there you go. What else have we got? Paul Smith, since 1876 is coming up with all these, by the way, so he's going to get a pair of tickets, I think. We'll just check. I think, looking down the rest of it, Colin Samuel Adams, Boston Lager, very good. Leon McCann of Tennants is actually quite good as well.
Oh, listen, my love of Tennants, we need to give whoever's done that
Leon
one.
Leon McCann of Tennants is getting it then.
Leon McCann of Tennants, there we go.
Harvey Lister and Grant Thompson. And who else did we say was getting it?
Mark Allen.
Pedro Matinho Garden. There you go. That's our 3 winners of the tickets for the Labrador Festival. Enjoy this Friday. Get along if you can. Like I say, there's a variety of beers and ciders, and I think they've got gins and all sorts on there, but it's always a great day out. It's just a really good excuse.
Just don't, if they're going on Friday, don't be too rough for Montrose on Saturday.
Watch yourself ahead to Saturday, exactly. Yes. Just, you know when to go home. Brilliant. Exactly. Right, listen, we've talked, God, we're well into this podcast. Like, we've even talked about Edinburgh.
I haven't really spoken about it.
Please welcome to Falkirk Daft our guest pundits this week, looking back at the game against Edinburgh. It's Henry and Callum Dowdy. How are you doing, boys?
All right.
All good. All good. How are you guys?
Evening, gents. All good.
All right.
Great to finally have these on.
Looking fine. I mean, I feel like the odd one out tonight. If you're watching the YouTube version of it, everyone else is wearing a strip. I'm just wearing a hoodie. But is that an original, Henry, or is that the replica that you've got on?
Unfortunately, no. This is a replica. I don't think they do the original in my size, so I've had to go with this.
I mean, you're a little bit older than your son Callum there, Henry. Did you have the original yourself?
Nope. Unfortunately not.
I'm desperate to get it. And then Callum, is that your Callum? You're too young to have that.
It is a replica.
Where did you get that from? That word, Callum's, if you're listening to the audio version, Callum's got the old checkerboard, different blue. Chris Waddle obviously famously wore that.
I can't remember what it was. They've done a few of them. They've done like the one my father's got on as well. I can't remember the name of the website off the top of my head. But they've done a few Falkirk tops over the year, but they only did them in quite kind of limited batches.
Oh, yeah. I know that. I think I know the company you're talking about. Yeah.
I got conned out of one of those companies once. They were doing the classic kind of blue patched Beezer Holmes ones, and that's my all time favourite top. And I went and bought one, and I got done for £40, and I never saw that top.
Oh, no.
Buy off of everyone. Watch you buy off. Anyway, boys, thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate your time. Let's get into the questions. Father and son duo, love it. Let's start off with Henry. Out with the Holy Trinity. You're not allowed to pick any of the Holy Trinity. Henry, who is your favourite all-time Falkirk player?
So, we've been going consistently to games for the last 10 years, so it would have to be somebody for that period. And for me, there can only be one guy. Will Volks, absolutely. Obviously, as somebody said already, there's such a good story behind him. Came in, got his way into the team. Could play right back, could play centre mid. I'm sure I've even seen him play centre back at times, filling in. And just for such a young guy, such a great presence around the stadium. I mean, I remember taking Callum to Junior Bairns, and Will was pretty much Sarah Scott's right-hand man. He was always putting himself forward, always there for everybody. Great guy. And I mean, when you see some of the awards that he's had down south, like he's worked with Bluebell Wood, with Rotherham, his stuff he done during the pandemic with Cardiff. Again, not only just a great player, but just somebody who's, you're proud to have somebody like that at your club. Great guy.
Yeah. And if you haven't heard, he's actually going to be our next guest on Falkirk Daft Meets. We had a wee conversation with him this afternoon, actually, and he's going to be on the podcast. Do you know what? It's really interesting, Henry, because we spoke to him, and he's a really humble guy as well. And I don't think he realised the impact that he had on the club. When we sort of said to him, you know, you're generally regarded as a modern day legend up at the football club. He was quite taken aback by that. You know,
he was quite emotional about it, actually. He was.
You know, I don't think he realises the impact that he had while he was up here. So that's really interesting that you say that, because I think, you know, for Callum, particularly, I guess, he was like the kind of standout guy, because, you know, we've been through the periods of Latapé and Stainrod and McAllister, but for the young team, you know, that's the kind of player that, you know, him, Sibbald, that's their kind of modern day greats, you know. So I think Will was very taken aback when we gave him that news.
I mean, like I say, just for the period that we had him, he just had such a big impact. There was just nothing you couldn't love about the guy. I mean, even like you'd seen yourself, because he kind of was in Falkirk as well, he was kind of embedded with us a bit. And you know what, you'd see him up the town, you would bump into him buying dog biscuits and B&M and stuff like it. It's just... And he always had time for everybody, like, great guy.
Right, Callum, we've dealt with the best player. What about you, your first memory? What was
I can mind my first game. I can mind, I think it just came about, my dad just says, no, I just fancy going to football. I was like, oh, aye. I went, who are they playing? They went, oh, Livingston. And I can mind one of the boys I went to the school with, he went to all the Falkirk games. I went, so I can mind going in. And I says to him, oh, are you going to the Falkirk Liverpool game at the weekend? And I just looked at me and he was like, what are you talking about? And I can mind it being one each. And I think it was Alston scored the penalty.
Yeah.
Was it a
penalty? No, Alston scored and we missed a penalty. Because who was the guy that got sent off after that? He lost the plot?
Phil Roberts.
Oh, Phil Roberts.
Phil Roberts. Yes.
What a he was a wee shite. I didn't like him at all.
I think we missed the penalty that afternoon and he just lost the plot after it. I'm sure.
Is that the one where he kicked like a bucket of water or something like that?
To be fair, I don't think he played for us again after that game, because he just lost it big time, like, and it was we were kind of there like, oh, I hope we get this every week.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. I mean, you obviously still go to the games together to this day, do you? Or are you going with your mates now, Callum?
No, I still go. Still go.
Oh,
Surprisingly enough, I can, as a parent, you get to a point like where it's like you've got to let the bird go free and that, and it's like on you go. But no, he's Mace Weeks, he's my carer, so.
Is he available for additional people to care for?
Doing hires for Saturday, Callum, is what we're asking.
I'll need a carer on Saturday, I think.
It's a role that he's well versed in. I think he's kind of his biggest sort of first stint reduction to it was myself, Callum, and Gary Hill flew over for the day when we played Shelburne at Toka Park. And obviously, the responsible adults maybe weren't quite as responsible as they could have been. So this boy made sure he got the passport sorted out. I think he got you to be about, 10, 11, 12?
Oh, I feel lucky. I didn't think it was at all.
So he's been well trained. He's been well trained.
Well, but this is fantastic parenting in action here.
I'll have a social working.
Well done, Cal. Right, listen, let's talk about the football then, shall we? Falkirk 4, Edinburgh City 1. And it was 4 for Callum Morrison at the weekend. Unbelievable. 4 changes to the side from Queen of the South. Brad Spencer, Leighton Bisland, Leon McCann and Aidan Nesbitt all coming into the starting lineup. Yeats, McGinn, Oliver and Hendo dropping out due to injury. Ross, have you heard anything on Hendo's injury? Is it just a temporary thing, or do you
think so? Yeah, I hope so, because he's such a huge player for us, isn't he? And obviously we know his dad, Willie, listens to the podcast, so we'll need to make sure Willie gives us the inside scoop ahead of the weekend against Montrose. But yeah, fingers crossed Hendo will be back soon, because you do miss him. I don't think we missed him as in interrupted us too much, because I think Mackey came in, and as you've just said, Mackey came in at centre half and did amazing on Saturday. The only shock I was kind of surprised with the team was Leighton Bisland coming in for Finn, and he obviously got subbed at half time, so it maybe wasn't the right decision by John McGlynn, that one anyway.
I mean,
you maybe wonder. Finn's played a lot of games lately.
Yeah.
It's been a case of resting them against prospectively who you see as a much weaker opponent. But I was glad to see Finn come on.
But I missed the game. Was Bisland not brilliant then in the first half? Because he's obviously wanting to see if Bisland, you know, it could be someone that we, I guess, take on loan again. But
it wasn't Finn Yeats, I think, is the best way to put it.
There was a few loose balls and stuff, the start of 11 on Saturday, he was probably the weakest of the 11 that started.
Yeah, so we're not thinking. I don't know what the contract is with situation is with Bisland at the end of the season, if he's going to be available from Dundee United or not. But
from what I've seen so far, I don't know if I'd be rushing to sign the lad up, if I'm being honest.
I would have to say the same if I'm being honest.
You mentioned Sean Mackey there coming in at centre half, on all accounts had a very, very good game there, Ross.
He did. No, I thought he did really well. I was, I know we passed comment on him earlier on in the podcast, but when he got his booking, I did have a small fear that, because he's a bit of a fight with a tackle, but he was phenomenal on Saturday. He really was. His distribution was great. he was putting his body on the line when he needed to as well. And yeah, he made a good pattern. He made a good partnership with Big Cole.
And you won, obviously, the penalty, which was after. I mean, it seemed that from Edinburgh came close. They had the best chance, the best chance of the game, in fairness to Edinburgh. But it did at any point you feel that there was that goal wasn't coming, guys?
I think it was always an inevitability. But for the about half an hour period, they were fighting back. And they were putting us under pressure at times. They had that kind of scuffle in the box where they get two or three shots away, and I was kind of thinking, oh, surely they're not here to upset the party.
How dare they?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you kind of look at like the predicament and the situation that they're in, and I kind of thought that they're probably coming to the stadium for damage limitation. Like, they didn't want a beating. They've had a few lately, but they gave it a go, and you know what? Fair play to them. They didn't sit back as I expected. They tried to get us. They had a couple of chances, but I thought we seemed a wee. I don't know if nervy is the right kind of word when we started, but I thought we started a wee bit slowly with a couple of chances. But once we got the goal, we were fine.
Yeah. I would completely agree.
Just a nervy first start, and just the crowd. Do you think they were a wee bit kind of nervous in front of the crowd that were there?
I mean, you've seen it happen the last season, well, nearly two seasons now, where it has been, Ken, it's been in the past, or team fans turn up, teams kind of, teams,
almost,
they'll get a bit kind of nervy about it. But I think it was one of the, I don't know, it's almost like the strategy in the games are tire them out in the first half, and then the second half, we always seem to come out better, and we always seem to kind of take control of the game and dictate the tempo.
Yeah, I mean, but like you say, the penalty came, and obviously Callum Morrison steps up as he has done all season and strokes it away, 1-0 Falkirk, and that was just the first of many to come for Callum, because the second one came just before half-time as well. Driving into the box after being played in by Brad Spencer, and just firing it under the goalkeeper for 2-0. And then I guess at that point, boys, it's half-time, you're thinking, easy street.
It was at that point, I think, we both kind of felt the goals will start kind of flooding now. Especially after Queen of the South and scoring so late, Owen getting missed here, well, all your goals in the second half, we've still got a couple more to come, I think.
I was of the same opinion. I think once you got the second one, because Edinburgh City had made a good fight of the first half in their defence. But as soon as the second one ran, you thought, right, okay, how many goals are we going to get? It was a weird atmosphere for a chunk of Saturday, though, because we were at the Falkirk.
Everybody was there, but everybody was there.
Everybody's on their phones, and then I know we're going to talk about the moment when the news came through eventually, but it was just a weird atmosphere for a chunk of the game, but it was a relief to get the second goal.
So the second half, we come out 2-0 up, but then I guess at that point, all eyes are going to phones to see what's going up.
Definitely.
Up at Cove, and that's when it started feeling a bit weird. I mean, talk me through it, because I'm sitting in a pub in Copenhagen. What was the atmosphere like in the stadium when obviously
there was just an instant lift, like a huge lift. Callum and John said in their interviews, they obviously didn't have to look, they knew for the reaction of the fans, but it really started to bounce. It was brilliant. And obviously, we had that 25-minute period before Hartley's mob stuffed it up. That, you know what, we're like, it's happening. It's going to be this week, eh? But the place really went off. And, you know, I think there was a noticeable lift in the players as well. I think we kind of raised our game again. I think they obviously, it's got back to them, and they've got a buzz out of it, and they've kind of went forward. So it was a taster of what will happen up in Montrose.
I think, John, it was spine tingling. Like, it was weird. Like, I know this is a weird thing to say, but like, see, there was just this as one cheer, and then like all three sides of the stadium, because obviously there was Bairns fans in the north stand as well, and like everybody was up, everybody was like shouting and singing. It was phenomenal. It was a brilliant feeling.
Yeah,
I mean, it must have been. And obviously, it gets even better because during that period, Callum Morrison then goes on to score his hat trick. Which is mental. I mean, played through, got a kind of lucky bounce, and then got
smashed
it.
Good finish.
Got it in the back of the net. And I mean, we talked about Callum Morrison at the start of the show, Ross, and, you know, when we talk about play of the year, and I think we said as well that we were having a debate about who's better, Callum or Calvin, and, you know, over the last couple of weeks, Callum has kind of went, fuck you, boys. It's two fingers up to us. But, I mean, again, and I want to know your opinion right at this point. We're recording on the 25th of March. Both Henry and Callum, who is your player of the year?
It's a toss-up, because if you're going off best player, it's got to be Morrison. I mean, he's the highest scorer in Scotland. But I've really liked Donaldson this year. He's really taken a step up. And again, last year he was a bit... and folks say it's Ken, oh, well, he's got Lang next to him, but he's had no had Lang next to him for a couple of weeks, and he's still at the same level as he was with Lang. So I think it's when you give him the armband, it changes him as a player.
Yeah. Henry.
So folk are daft or responsible for Caldwell.
Of course. Aye, that's what I'm saying.
Henry, you going with your son?
Again, if you go in stats, it's got to be Morrison. But you know what? If you're picking it, he's your 98% and the rest of your players are 95%, because there's been some consistently excellent performances this season. All the players have contributed immensely. Big Tom Lang at the back, Yates solid.
Leon,
he's never lets you down.
No.
Brad Spencer can pick a pass for the middle. He just gives us that kind of composure, that control. It's a toughie, but I think I'd go Morrison, if I'm being honest. I think you have to.
Yeah, this could be interesting. It's going to be an interesting chat come the end of the season, I think. But Morrison, if he keeps going the way he's going, like 6 goals in 2 games, like there's no denying it'll be him. McGlynn, obviously, when we went 3-0 up, then kind of rung the changes at that point. Ross McKeever, Nesbitt, and Spencer coming off. How do you think Ross McKeever did on Saturday? He's only got 1 goal this year so far. Ross, he's well off the 30 goals that you thought he was going to get.
I told you, it proves that I know fuck all.
But how did Ross play on Saturday, do you think?
For me, he put his usual 110% shift in, like, I think for one of the goals, he plays the ball up the wing. You know what? I think with the system that we play, we've got the kind of three
goals.
We've got the three players around him that can put the ball in the net, like, we can get guys coming for deep that can put the ball in the net, like, so, I mean, it's like you say, is he that guy that's going to score you 30 goals a season? Probably no, but as a focal point in an attack of 4, I think he does well, and I thought he was all right on Saturday. It'd be nice to see him get a few more goals, but you know what? We've got other people that can contribute. He's still playing his part, so, you're good.
Can I make a comment, though? So going back to the 30 goals that I said he would score. When I said that, he had scored like 5 goals in the space of like 2 games. So that was my defence.
It's okay, Ross. It's fine. No,
I just wanted to defend my opinion.
No one's mocking you.
See, going back to Saturday, though, I agree with Henry. I thought he was an 8/9 out of 10 performance again from him. The only thing that would have made it even better is he had a really good opportunity to score. And I think John McGann talks about it in his interview as well. He should have done far better with that. And that's a second week on the bounce where he should have done better with his finishing. I think once this is done, I think we'll see a bit of Shanley. Who I'm not saying is better than him, because I don't think he is, but I think after this weekend, I can see Shanley getting a bit more game time between now and the season, because it's Shanley that's obviously fighting for a contract, whereas Ross has signed up.
And Shanley seems to have he's got a bit about him, Shanley, like, he's got a bit of attitude, what I like to see in a striker. Like, he's not afraid to leave the foot in when need be, like a defender know he's there. I think he just needs a couple of goals, and you could see him score a few.
Yeah, I think, like Ross said, I'd like to see him get a run in the team because I think there's goals in there. And like you say, Henry, he does have the air of a striker about him that knows what he's doing. He has a kind of a level of experience above his age, I would say. I would like to see actually Shanley have a run in the team because, you know, he's got, like you say, he's playing for a contract potentially. We know we've got Ross next season, so why not have a look at him and see what he can do. Another guy, you know, came off the bench as well as Ethan Ross as well, and I don't know what his contract situation is.
I'm sure he's out at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think he's, because the way it's looking, I mean, if you've got a boy out at the end of the year, he's played the first, because they seemed raging. Wraith fans, didn't seem best pleased that they let him go. So with the way that he's, kind of, it's a 6-month loan, now it's a year loan. If he's out of contract at the end of the year, it looks to me as if it's positioning for McGlynn to can sit down at the end of the year, put the contract down and say, look, mate, you've done well, can, and you come, can I?
I mean, he came closer before Ben Morrison's fourth goal with that shot from the edge of the box. And that point, we're still winning the league at that point as well. He's a player I've talked about in this podcast many a time who just seems to ease his way into game. He glides past players.
Yep.
He always pop be in there or thereabouts. You know, not willing to, you know, knocking, taking shots, beating men. I really like the look of Ethan Ross, and I really hope it's a player that. Him, definitely. And I want to talk about a man now who apparently impressed at the weekend, Dylan Tate, Ross.
Oh. Dylan Tate was, he was phenomenal on Saturday. It's not just the wee flicks and tricks that he knows he can do as well, but his distribution on Saturday, spraying the ball around the park was just phenomenal. He's a box-to-box player too. We forget he looks older than he actually is, and he plays, definitely. I think he plays older than he is.
He's got an air of maturity around him.
Like, he definitely does.
His game awareness, he always kens when he's got a man in his shoulder without even kenning. He'll not even hear the shout and he'll ken. Almost like he just feels that he's got somebody behind him. Or he always seems to be able to pick the space and all.
And I was really impressed with his work rate on Saturday. He just didn't stop. I mean, that was for the third goal. He robs the guy five for Edinburgh. He gets out to Miller on the wing. So he just kept on going, like, and again, I think it's the same with Ethan Ross. When you look at these two players, they clearly fit into our system. They clearly fit into our dressing room. Ross is maybe going to be out of contract. You look at Dylan Tate's situation. I know he's got a year left at Hibs. Hibs have got somebody coming in with quite a lot of money. So, I mean, would I be right in thinking it's Hibs that's got the investor? So, I mean, is Dylan Tate going to push into a Hibs side that's probably going to sign? I wouldn't think so. So, you know what?
I would definitely try and get both in the summer.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, what I was going to say is, like, obviously Hendo's dropped out of that midfield and, you know, was playing obviously centre half against Queen of the South and then was missing. And you thought you were going to miss that physicality against two big physical teams, by the way, Queen of the South and Edinburgh.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You thought you were going to miss that physicality in there, but Dylan Tate has stepped into that role in midfield and seemed to have done very, very well, certainly over the last couple of games. And as someone, like you say, you think he's older than he is because of how he plays in the ball. And he would be a great addition to the squad for next season as well.
Yeah.
I was just
going to agree. I think he's an absolute Rolls Royce of a player. And I think wherever he goes, obviously, I know it never worked out for him at Hamilton, but it's a basket case of a club these days. So, he's been fantastic. Sorry, him.
No, it's like you say with Tate. He seems to be getting better with game time. He seems to be getting up to the pace of the game there. And he just like you say on Saturday, he was brilliant. And like I know we kind of mentioned what happened at Hamilton, but Dylan Tate and John McGlynn are a very good fit. You can see the respect that Tate has for McGlynn, and I think that's also adding. He's comfortable in the place that he's playing football, so get him in. That's what I say, definitely.
Right. Well, it was McGlynn that brought him through at Wraith, so they've already got that connection together again. McGlynn kens how to best use him because he's seen him playing at younger teams, and he's seen, right, well, he's better as a box-to-box, he's good with the ball at his feet, again. He's signed a player that's a key fit for his midfield.
Yeah,
totally.
I'd love to see both of them on contracts for next season. Now, what happened first? Because timing-wise, did we score the fourth goal or did Hamilton score before that?
I think it was about this. It must have been about the same time. It couldn't have been much in it. A couple of minutes, maybe.
Yeah. I think it was just a minute or two. And we scored. We certainly scored first before the news filtered through. I only realised because usually somebody texts, but then the young team started saying they were slagging off Paul Hartley. I can't remember what the chant was, but you were like, oh Christ, I bet you'd have scored. And they had.
Was it potentially Paul Hartley, you're a wanker, you're a wanker?
Could have been, yeah, could have been.
It's along the lines.
Probably. So, I mean, how did it feel around the stadium at that point?
It was weird. It was more towards, at the 2-1, they scored two goals right quick, so I didn't think there was really much of a difference. But leaving the stadium, there was folk around it. They were acting as if we'd just been beat or we'd just been relegated or something. And it's disappointing, but at the end of the day, we're going to go up to Montrose next week. All things, obviously there's the opportunity we could win it before we even kick a ball, and there's a chance that we'll have to go out and win it in the park. But either way, it's not the end of the world. It's
not a
just
bad situation to be in.
Damn that last
minute. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been 5 years. We can wait another week.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was that last minute goal against Annan. If we had won that game,
all these if buts and maybes.
I know. But listen, I'm not complaining. I get the chance to see the team potentially win the league because I'm here this weekend, so I'm quite happy. But we've got, we've got six chances at it over the next. If you want, I was going to say though, it's only a point really needed, but it's really three, which is really annoying as well. Because if we get a point at the weekend, it's like, I don't know if we've won it yet, but we have kind of. So,
he said that exactly half an hour ago.
There's another another benefit to no winning it this weekend. Obviously, we'll win the league at Montrose. The next game, Guard the Honour, and it's Cove. So. It swings and roundabouts. The man that put us down is the man that will be clapping us on the field after we've won the league. So
we've got to do it for that Guard of Honour. We've got to do it. Come on, Burns. We talked about Edinburgh got one back. I mean, it was a bad goal to lose when you look at that.
I think it was just
switched off.
It's almost like he's just switched off for 2 seconds and it's kind of coast, but
pass is shot.
Aye. Was it me or could someone have just got back and got that off the line, by the way? I just felt that they just gave up.
It was really slow motion.
I just thought someone can get back and slide that in off the line. I just watched that. I think it was Cole. I don't know if it was Cole or...
Yep.
I think it was Sean Mackey that was the closest to the the ball, I think. I think it was, anyway.
And I'm just like, get back and get that off. But no, it's less than 4-1. We'll take it. It was a young lad from the academy that scored it. So 4-1, up the road, 3 points. But obviously, it wasn't to be the league win. Fingers crossed, that's at Montrose. Thank you to our resident Stato, Donald Johnson, back in touch. He says that since the 1960s, that's only the third time a Falkirk player has scored 4 goals in a competitive match in over 60 years. Alex Ray did it against Albion Rovers on the 30th of September 1989. Of course, the famous Hugh Maxwell scored all 7 versus Clyde on the 9th of December 1962 after the war from 1946 to 1959. 5 Bairns each scored 4 goals in a competitive match, namely George Brooks away to Hamilton in 1946, Jimmy Ingalls home to Hamilton in 1946, Archie Aikman against Albion Rovers in 1949, Angus Plum famously in a League Cup did it twice in 2 weeks, wow, against H&A and Cowdenbeath. And the great Doug Moran got 4 in 1959 versus Forfar. So Callum has joined a fairly elite band and his name will be remembered forever for scoring 4 goals in 1 match. So there you go. In modern times, and certainly this century, is his first one. Everyone says Pedro did it in obviously the game.
The Dutch tour,
Dingle or whatever. We're not taking
I'm not sure we can count that, can we?
No, I doubt we can take that, Pedro. No. So well done to Callum Morrison. And you'll see in my background, grabbing the badge and obviously signing his new deal. I'm never a big fan of badge kissers. I wouldn't hold my hand out. He didn't kiss the badge right enough. He just grabbed the badge.
Well, what though, John? He's been with the club long enough, though.
He has.
Club long enough now, and he's been through the shit, and he's now here when it's going brilliant. And yeah, listen, he can do what he wants.
As we said, as a player, we didn't think we were going to have last season. You know,
exactly.
We thought he was going to be away to another. You know, it amazes me to this day that a Motherwell or St Mirren or a team of that ilk haven't looked at what he's done and think he's out of contract. Get him a free contract.
It was when Craig Levein get the St Johnstone jokes. It was him that brought him through at Hearts. I was like, there's your signing that's kind of written in the stars for Craig Levein to bring him right up and help them kind of drag themselves to a half decent finish. But yeah, I mean,
he's local to the area. I think he lives in Dunblane actually.
John, we're a bigger club than all these teams. No, we are though. We're a bigger club than I'm not talking about Hearts. We're a bigger club than St Johnstone. We're a bigger club than Motherwell. We're a bigger club than St Mirren. I know we're no where they are.
Can't you say we're bigger than
Motherwell or St Mirren? Of course, you're shitting me. Of course, we're a bigger club than these. Are you serious? Of course we are. Well, no, obviously they're in the Premier League, right? So obviously that's one thing we're not. But in terms of the club, we're a far bigger club than St Mirren and St Johnstone.
Oh, definitely.
St Johnstone.
Motherwell. They're another. The Motherwell community only come out and back the Motherwell team when they're third and fourth in the league. Look at their crowds. Look at how the fans have kind of deserted the club. We've not deserted our club, and we've been down far lower than some of these clubs will ever be. So,
yeah, that's a good point to make.
There you go. Right, okay.
Ran over.
If you're listening to the Motherwell supporters, they'll be on you straight away, Ross. Right, okay, let's hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say after that match.
John, a really convincing win. Perhaps slightly disappointing that we didn't clinch the league title at home today, but at the end of the day, it's another win and another step closer.
We were just focusing on ourselves, you know, from our point of view, the team. Our backroom staff, we weren't interested in the other game. We were interested in this game. We were very focused on this game. We've had difficult games against Edinburgh in the past, you know, no more so than the last game in Edinburgh when it finished 2-2 and we had to scramble a penalty in the last minute. So we knew that we were difficult opponents. So for us to come here and, well, for us to win 4-1, very convincing. Just a pity we lost that goal in the last minute. It's a bit annoying. But nonetheless, it's four. It could have been four at half time. You know, Big McIver's been through 1v1 and Calvin Miller's got a great opportunity to score. I'm sure Callum had a good opportunity as well. But, you know, delighted that it was 2-0 at half-time. But I thought we were scrappy. I didn't think we were flowing as well. But I thought the second half we were much better. And we've scored 2 goals in the first half, 2 goals in the second half. But I actually thought we were much better. I thought we had much more control in the game. It wasn't so end-to-end. Calum's took his goals really well. All 4 goals, you know, a bit of pressure on his last penalty there. Having scored one, does he put it back in the same corner? Does he change his corner? He's changed his corner and done the goalie. So, you know, delighted for him. 4 goals, I'll remember that for forever, you know. It's not very often you score 4 goals. He's been knocking on the door to getting 3. He scored a number of times twice this season, so delighted for him. But again, I thought Dylan Tate was immense in midfield. Colin, great for Sean Mackey. Liam Henderson's calf kind of flared up and he couldn't play, so Sean's not played in central defence this season, so fair play to him, stepped in, done the job. Call was good as well, you know, so I thought midfield were really good. Nizzy again involved in a lot going on. Brad, you know, again pulling the strings beside Dylan there, very good, and the wingers are always going to give us a threat, which has happened with Callum getting these goals. And Goldie made a couple of great saves. Even Ethan Ross had a brilliant shot and great save by the goalkeeper again. So delighted to win 4-1. Yeah, we done our part. We move on now to next week in Montrose. Yeah,
love that. Just yeah.
Yeah.
Does anyone ever get John McGlynn to smile? I'd love to have a game of just trying to get John McGlynn to smile, just telling him jokes to see if we could get him to laugh. I do want it to happen when he gets in. Hendo, if you're listening, Hendo or Willie Henderson, get your boy to get we're going over to that ultra section and doing the dance before the end of the season.
I'd love to see it.
That would be phenomenal, wouldn't it?
It needs to happen because I'd love to see. Come on, John. You've just won 4-1. You're on the precipice of winning the league. And
I quite like that about him, though. I quite like the fact he's always calculated. He's always calm. Even when we, like, after every game, it's no, we're 17 clear here and we're scooshing it. It's always, we just focus on the next game, focus on the next game. And I respect that about him, that he's getting caught up in it. He's just taking it as it is.
I just get a wee smile on his face.
he'll be smiling at 7:30 next time.
Callum, you're right, though.
Tickle.
Callum, you're right, though. He's always a cool character. Isn't he? Like, I can't remember quite what the phrase is, but he would be like a kite in a hurricane. He would just be so calm still. See, just before we move on from Falkirk TV, though, did you watch the Callum Morrison interview? And Adam says to him, "You might be getting a call from."
That's what I listen. Get him on that plane to the Euros. That's what we
need.
Super Callum Morrison. listen, let's see what the supporters had to say on the match. James kicks us off for 25 minutes. It was beautiful. A goosebump moment when the KM stand erupted and everyone went for their phones to check the score at Cove. CM7 in no doubt for a man of the match, but thought Mackey was immense for us. Even adding a Cruyff turn for the banter. See him in the groups.
It was so great. It was one of them. He didn't move with the ball. The ball just stood where it was. He just kind of pirouetted out of the ball and somehow done the man.
Tremendous. It was class.
Scott says Mackey gave Cal a run for man of the match. Disappointing not to win the league today, but what a chance it'll be to win it on TV next weekend. Special shout out to the Edinburgh fan cheering Hamilton winning. At least he had something to be happy about, is his team are gash.
We did a very comfortable delight for Morrison and loved the fact he grabbed the badge during one of his celebrations. Never seen him do that before. Full force Mackey was actually really good as well. We are some team.
Indeed. Lewis says, what about a business McGlynn and Smith have done tying down Morrison? We'd love to see Yeats, Tate and Ross all secured going forward. It's clear to see the culture that the staff and players have created, meaning maintaining this will be the key to our future success.
Just as we were saying earlier, Gio says today was the day that Cal achieved legend status, having signed for another 2 years and grabbing that badge. He loves us as much as we love him.
Love it. Grant says 3 points, never in doubt. Mackey, Colin, Tate, all excellent, but Morrison stole the show and no shock to see him get man of the match. Another very big support, hopefully going up to Montrose next week to see us win the league and after 5 long hard years, finally get out of League One.
Yep, Pizzo.
I can't wait for Saturday, by the way. I'm absolutely buzzing.
Oh, yeah, I'm counting.
4 days and counting. Pizzo says, fantastic performance with plenty of positives. Morrison, the obvious choice for man of the match, but a special mention to Dylan Tate, who ran the show in midfield. On to Montrose.
Indeed. Paul says, weird feeling being disappointed when you win 4-1. Your team unbeaten in the league. You're 17 points clear at the top and 1 win away from the league title. Well, don't be disappointed, Paul. Just enjoy this, son.
And Homer's twin comes in. By the way, John, the Miller-Morrison debate was put to bed today. It's Morrison. He was outstanding again today. Now the top SPFL scorer passing Shanklin. There you go. So well done, Cal Morrison, reaching that. And if he can keep it going until the end of the season, that's a phenomenal achievement. Our stato man, Donald, who was the last Falkirk player to be the highest scorer in Scotland? Has there ever been one?
Surely there'll have been one at some point, but...
The year that Cadet scored about 30, surely he must have been close. I suppose the only issue would have been at that point, I bet you like Ali McCoist was scoring.
There'll be somebody with 45 or something.
Yeah, so we'd need to have a look at that one. But Richard Cadet, I'm sure he scored about 28, 29 in the first division.
Certainly, I'd love to see that stat. We'll look into that one for next week. That's for next week. Right, okay, I don't think this is a very hard question to answer. Who's the Falkirk Daft rated player of the match?
Can only be Morrison.
Easy one this week.
Easy peasy this week. Ross, I'm taking it there's no disagreement.
No, not at all. Yeah, had to be Cal.
Falkirk Dafty.
We did see somebody, and it's one of them ones. I've seen a few folk with their inflatable trophies, and I was like, look, that's tempting fate too much for me. Like, I didn't even bet on Falkirk, so bringing an inflatable trophy when it's low in our hands if we win the league. But I did see one guy.
It was about ages with me.
Aye, about ages with my dad, running lengths down the front of the South Stand with a full kit and an inflatable trophy, running laps as if he was warming up to come on. So I seen that, and I had to take a take. I was like, have I just seen, I says to him, and I was like, have I seen that right? And he went, no, that's a boy in a full kit.
But
had the name on the back and everything, so at least he's went the full 9 yards with it.
He's committed. I like it, but no, I'm
admirable, like, Ken, top parenting there. Fuck it, Dafty, who do you pick this week? It's a toughie. Do we go Paul Hartley because his mob couldn't hold off for the last 7 minutes?
Listen, I'm happy with Paul Hartley being Falkirk Daft of the week. Let's absolutely go for Paul Hartley
every single week.
Absolutely. Ross, no disagreement?
No, I'll go with Hartley as well. Absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant. Right, okay, we're all in agreement with that then. Superb. Boys, thank you so much for coming on. We'll see you up at Montrose, presumably.
You'll see us on the pitch about 7:30.
Right, I tell you what, 7:30, I'll meet you at the halfway line, all right?
Aye, I'll meet you there.
Brilliant. Deal. Fantastic. Listen, if you want to be like Henry and Callum, you can come on as a father and son duo. We'd love to have you on. Remember, just drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can drop us an email to me and Ross, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Okay, it's time to look ahead to Montrose, potentially a historic day in the history of the club as we go on to try and win the League One title. And he's been with us all season. It's my mate Mark who's with us, and he's got a picture of Ryan Williamson behind him if you're listening to today. And he's sitting in his Montrose tracksuit, his little Hummel number. It's quite a nice little tracksuit, that, Mark.
Yeah, it's a couple years old, this one. It's not this season's one, but...
I quite like that. How's it been going in Montrose way? Last couple of results haven't been great for you, and you've kind of lost that bit of momentum that you had into the playoffs.
We lost to Stirling Albion with a last minute goal from apparently a really poor game. I wasn't at the game, but apparently both teams were really awful, and Montrose were marginally more awful over the 90. Draw the game for that, and that's off the back of 3 wins. So I wouldn't say form's nosedived terribly badly. I mean, we're still sitting fourth in the league.
I wouldn't say nosedived, but I mean, it's lucky for you that obviously Allah, but just above you, have lost the last two as well. So it keeps that. Yeah. I mean, it keeps that like quest for third and fourth between you, Allah, and Kovac keeps it really, really tight. Do you think you'll have the momentum to keep going and? Are you still to play Alan and Cove, is that right?
Yeah, still with both, I think. I mean, what's it, 6 games to go? We've got a small squad, we've got a part-time squad, we've got a lot of injuries, we've got a lot of old players, so I'm not going to make any daft predictions, but I mean, we're still up the right end of the table. I think we're probably far enough ahead of Kelty now that unless our form nosedives and they really start picking up points faster than they have been for the last couple of months, then we're probably far enough away from them and Stirling to be okay. So it's,
definitely.
You're from three, good, really.
Yeah, you're not
good. I think Cove's probably the only risk that you've got there.
Yeah, I mean, they're only 3 points behind. We've got a marginally better goal difference than both Cove and Agua, so that's maybe slightly in our favour, obviously. It doesn't count for much if you start dropping points. But we're still up there.
Looking ahead to the weekend, it was Paul Watson's testimony there at the weekend there, am I right in saying that, Mark?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and was it that well attended? A lot of people out for that?
A few hundred, not massively well attended, wasn't a full house or anything like that, but yeah, it was good to, I wasn't there, but it was, good to commemorate. He's been there 12 years, title winning captain, he's been there from relegation playoff up through the divisions, so yeah, good to pay tribute to him.
Can't believe he's, I mean, like, came on against us. I think, I mean, the last time we played you guys, it was a bit of a canter for Falkirk down at our place and in that midweek game. But I thought when you brought on Watson and Gardine, it made a big difference to you.
Yeah, I can kind of understand why he rested so many players, because I assume the assumption was that we were going to lose that game anyway, so might as well rest some of the older first team players that don't have 90 minutes left in them anymore and obviously didn't play out the way that he'd planned. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys in our team that can't do 90 minutes week in, week out anymore. Watson, to be fair to Sean Dillon, he pretty much manages it. But yeah, there's a few sets of older legs there.
Yeah. What's the reaction? I mean, we obviously, there's been 2,500 tickets being put on sale for the Falkirk supporters. What, how have the fans sort of taken to that news, Mark?
It's all right. I think you might even get more than that because it's a title challenge. I think you're probably looking at maybe up to three and a half or just under 3.5. Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to grudge you that. I mean, it's taking you long enough to get to that position. So
I take it, it's, oh, there you go, there's the usual dig. I take it it's more about getting money into the cup, because I'm assuming, a lot of people are assuming that we're winning the league at some point. I'm still not saying anything. I have said that.
Come on, Joris.
I know. But,
what, you're 17 ahead with 18 to play?
Yeah.
It's
done.
It's going to be some comeback if I want to win the league.
But yeah, it's obviously the annoying thing from a Falkirk's perspective, and we've talked about this throughout the podcast today, is that if we get a point, we're in this really awkward kind of no man's land of like, we've kind of won it because our goal difference is 16 better than Hamilton's.
Yeah.
But it's not mathematically, you know, correct. So it's like, we're going to this total no man's land of like, should we pitch invade?
But then, as we know, Hamilton are playing at 3 o'clock. So who knows how, what the table potentially could be come half five. So it's, listen, it is what it is. If it's not this weekend, it'll be next weekend.
I mean, we know, Montrose is one of the few places we've drawn this season as well. And that was near the start of the season, where we drew up there in the kind of midweek game. How do you think it's going to go this weekend, Mark? And have you got any major players out of the side?
I think Watson's probably not fit. He didn't play the full part of his testimony. He went off injured against, a couple of weeks ago, he went off injured with a knackered knee, and he was heavily strapped up for his testimonial on Saturday.
Yeah.
Terry Matheson's on the way back. Ger Waddle's still out. I think most of the others are probably there or thereabouts, so still carrying quite a few injuries, and yeah,
not Hester, Webster, and Lyons are all available though.
As far as I know, yeah.
Blair Lyons has always been a player that's impressed me at Montrose.
Yeah, Blair Lyons is the one that's most likely to win us a penalty because he dinks about with the ball and invites stupid challenges. So.
Yeah.
I'm still going for Ryan Williamson, 93rd minute, 30 yard drive in the top corner after skinning your whole midfield. Straight through the middle of the park like Cafu.
God, it's, you know what, that's the sort of thing that gives me the absolute...
And then along the front of the stand, just giving it the old cup deal like he did at Grangemouth at the start of the season.
It gives me the fear.
How did that one end for him though?
That's fair enough.
It's a fair one. So yeah, title potential winner for Falkirk at the weekend. Looking forward to the out. For the Falkirk supports heading up, Mark, what pubs should we be going to?
The closest one to the train station is the Picture House, which you can see from the train station, and then just head up in a straight line towards the ground. You'll pass Market Arms, you'll pass the Star, and right next to the ground is the Legion. So,
yes, I think I've drank in every single one of those pubs with you the last time I was up, Mark.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have. That's the straightest line from the train station to ground.
Yeah, cool. And what do you think the score's going to be on Saturday, Mark?
I just told you, 1-0, Ryan Williamson, 93rd minute, driving the top corner from 30 yards.
Ross, Wayne, what do you think the score's going to be?
I think it'll be a tight scoreline, but I think if we have to win it on Saturday, then we will. I'm going to go 2-1 Burns.
I'm going to go 1-0 the other way for Falkirk, and I can just imagine the scenes. 93rd, go the other way, 93rd minute, Callum Morrison wins us the league up there, scenes. Absolutely.
Would you rather have a 93rd minute Callum Morrison winner or a 93rd minute Ryan Williamson OG?
A Ryan Williamson OG would be magnificent.
I know it would be.
Aye. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the game. Right, so will we see you for a pint at the Picture House, Mark? Our train gets on at 1:30.
Yeah, definitely. Are you coming up as well, Ross?
Yeah, we're getting the train up, buddy. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
I'll see you there.
And then at that point, you can hand over me the money, or maybe get you after the match. You can hand me over the money that you owe me for Falkirk. You said we wouldn't win the title this season. So,
you're wanting to claim it before kickoff, are you?
No, I'll come meet you after. I'll see you in the pitch, Mark. Right? If you jump in, like, you can join and be the only Montrose player to join in the pitch invasion if we win.
Aye, that'll be right.
I'll meet you in the halfway. I'll meet you in the centre circle. All right.
I hope you get lifted. Both of you. A night in the cells in Forfar.
Well, hopefully it's the last time we speak to you in a long while, Mark.
Well, no, because we're going up as well, so it'll be fine.
All right, that's true.
We
might have to put up another season of this, Ross. Jesus Christ, that'd be a nightmare. But all right, well, listen, thanks for coming on this season, Mark. Really appreciate your insight into Montrose.
Anytime.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Well, that was an epic episode, wasn't it? Jesus, we had Graham Carbis on, we've had Mark on talking about the Montrose game, and of course Henry and Callum talking about the Edinburgh game. Wow, what an epic long episode of Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening and sticking with us. God, you know, we've only got about 6 episodes to go before the end of the season as well, Ross.
Yeah, plus our live event, obviously.
Plus our live event, yep, that's not far away now as well. That's
not far.
Creep up on it as well, so we need to try and work out what we're going to do on it. It'll be a fantastic night for all of you that have bought a ticket. Don't you worry, we've got a plan. Don't worry, you don't worry.
We do.
Right, listen, thanks very much for listening. Please rate, review the podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts. If you're watching us, subscribe, leave a comment below. It helps with the algorithms. I don't know how this works. Merch, you can get it before the end of the season if you want to be sporting a fantastic. Wait, you got the t-shirts printed yet, Ross?
Champions t-shirts, no, we better wait till it's official.
We'll wait till it's official. And do you know what? I'll see what I can do about getting something designed. Falkirk Daft Champions t-shirts. But yeah, you can get any Falkirk Daft merch you want, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, and you can get in touch with the podcast if you want to advertise on it. If you want to just leave some banter for us, that's great. John at falkirkdaft.co.uk or Ross at falkirkdaft.co.uk. My voice is almost gone. But yeah, it's on to Montrose. Hopefully he's back for that, so I can join in with the singing on Saturday.
Absolutely. I'm sure it will be. You'll have a few beverages to loosen the singing vocal cords as well.
The more and more I think about it, the more and more I want Stirling to get something at Hamilton.
So we can just enjoy it.
Just so we can enjoy it, because you imagine how much of a part it will be in that stadium if we won the league without having to do anything. And you know, the boys on the park will, you know, they'll want to stay invincible. But just that awkward feeling of the draw is putting me right off it, of us drawing. And then, like, we're all just going to be standing there going, what do we do? We're one week, kind of, you know, what do we do? So I know, I think my preference is that we win it before. What about you?
Do you know, I kind of want the excitement of winning the game and we've gained promotion because we've won it on the night. But listen, I'll be happy either way. You're right, what a party. It'll be in the pub beforehand and then at the game if it's already done. So
there will be people that will not make it to the game if we win. I'll tell you that right now. There will be people just will not make it to the game if Hamilton or Stirling do us a favour on Saturday afternoon. So. No, looking forward to the day out, and what will be as we
know.
But we will be back hopefully next week, celebrating the league title, fingers crossed. But until that time,
expect the unexpected, buddy. Mother Burns.